Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Unapologetically Living. Thank you all for tuning in. If you're watching me on YouTube, thank you. Don't forget to like, comment, and share. If you're listening to me through a podcast, thank you for listening and taking me with you throughout your day. Happy holidays to everyone. I hope everyone is getting themselves ready for 2021. It is fastly approaching, and we're not going to wait until the year come to say if we're going to have a good year. We're going to say now that we know we're going to have a good year. No matter what's going on in the world, we're going to have a good year. Without further ado, I have yes another special guest. I told you I have real life people, because we're real people for what? We have real stories. That's right. And everyone needs to be able to hear real stories. Without further ado, I'm going to introduce to you Mrs. Desiree. Desiree, how are you?
I am great. Very excited to be on your show. We've spoken previously. Really excited. Really good conversation and great insights.
Yes. So tell them the audience about yourself. Who are you and how did you get to this point in your life where you are?
Well, I'm located in Los Angeles. I run a business consulting firm. The reason I got attracted to your show was because it was just real time. Topics. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years I've experienced a lot of the situations that you are trying to address and put out there and inform people about.
Okay. I love it. How long you been an entrepreneur? How long have you been an entrepreneur?
I've been working independently for full-time for about 5 years now.
Okay. Now, what can you say, what made you go into entrepreneurship versus staying in the whole 9-to-5?
I think what motivated me the most was just talking to people in my network. The reason I decided to become independent was because while I was working a full-time 9-to-5, a lot of people would come to me in terms of consulting and asking for my opinion, you know, hey, what do you think about this? How can I do this better? And I was doing it for free. And one of my friends was like, hey, you know, you can charge people for this. Right. And I was like, what? But, you know, they're just asking me questions and I'm answering them. He was like, no, people really want to know how to do these things and you have the knowledge. And that's kind of how I slowly started, you know, through networking and eventually word of mouth. It just worked as a snowball effect. And yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it. It's tough. It's rough. You got to make sure you make that the good amount of money to, you know, be able to live. But at the same time, I think it's really rewarding and it comes.
I love it. I think entrepreneurship definitely takes a certain type of personality because you have to you understand problem solving. So, you know, you had the answer to a lot of people's problems. So why not get monetized for giving them the answers to help them easier on their path? So I love it. So now let's get into, we had
talked.
When we talked before, we had you had talked about a lot about, you had faced a lot of issues with different cultural diversity. You being of a different background, diverse background, you experienced a lot. Did you care to elaborate about how was it coming from, you know, like a diverse background?
I'm sorry, I lost you at background the first time.
Oh, no, it's no problem.
The first background, okay. I lost you.
Talking about your background, your cultural background, You faced a lot of issues as you were transitioning into your adult life with you being from a diverse background. Did you hear me?
Okay, I think I got the question. You probably cut that out, but I think I got it.
Okay.
In terms of, yeah, my background just transitioning into early 20s, from college to early 20s, I think in terms of identity, there was definitely a huge, there was a huge gap in terms of how I would identify myself, because I was born and raised in Germany. I went to a German school, but then at the same time, in our household, we're raised very Filipino, strict Filipino, Catholic schoolgirl.
Mm-hmm.
Just that good girl image. And then college, I went to the Philippines, and I was submerged into, you know, my roots. But then there also, I was not, in either way, I was never accepted as, hey, I went to a German school, you're German, or, you know, I'm with the American side, and it's like, no, you're German, you're not American. And then in the Philippines, it was like, we don't know what you are. I was like, I don't know what I am. Mm-hmm. So then moving to New York, my mindset was kind of, hey, you know, New York is this melting pot of all cultures, or even if it wasn't understand, but has this kind of sense of community or acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was definitely the opposite. So when I moved to New York, I was stereotyped Chinese food, or, you know, you're a rice eater. And it was like, yeah, I don't really eat that much rice. So like, that's definitely how I did not identify myself with. My conflict was more, do I say I'm German? Do I say I'm Filipino? I honestly never identified as an American. I do have a U.S. passport. My dad was raised in the U.S. My family is from the U.S., but most of my childhood, I was exposed to German culture and Filipino culture. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I went with. And then when I moved to New York, it was like, you have to be Chinese. So that was my experience. Transitioning into adulthood. And then, you know, in your 20s, that's your time to figure out who you really are, who your friends really are. It's just whatever decisions you make during that time, that's kind of the path you're going in your 30s.
Right. Now, with relationships, how did you see yourself in relationships? Did you know which side of relationships you wanted to go?
No. My first boyfriend was Filipino, on one date with a German, and that was when I was in the Philippines, and that failed. And I never went on a date with a German again. But my first boyfriend was Filipino, so that was kind of a wasn't anything special. I mean, my family accepted and everything, you know, because I stayed within the race. I moved to New York, and my boyfriend then was Jamaican.
Okay.
So that kind of was, there was definitely a culture clash.
With
friends, family friends that I then had, who all were in the New York area. And then, I mean, when I moved there, I moved into a house that was owned by Filipinos. Okay. And they were just not as open. So that was tough. They kicked me out. And I had kind of had to figure it out from there. So they, so a lot of learning experiences when I moved to New York definitely happened. And I think, it definitely shaped me.
Okay. So now, in your adult life, now you did tell me that you are married. Now, what did you, for what race, now that you're married, did you choose?
I heard married, and then what did you?
I said, now that you're married, because you told me that you are married now in your adult life. Now, how did the race affect you now when you're now you're married? Do you see it differently now being married? Did you catch it? Did you hear me?
I heard adult life, and now I didn't hear just the last part.
Okay. I said, now that you're an adult and now that you are married, how did it have, so now how is it being married now with your, with the diverse culture?
That was tough too.
Okay.
Because so I moved from New York to California, mm-hmm. and I moved, I was single, I had my son already. That already was all also just like a culture thing. Mm-hmm. I had a kid without being married, right. I had a kid with someone who's not Filipino. So that already was like, oh my God,
wow,
you're a black sheep, we can't talk to you, kind mm-hmm. of.
Wow.
Thing, right. So okay. That raised, and then I mean, I was single for quite a while, mm-hmm. and then I met my now husband, who is African American.
Okay.
So when we first started dating, that again was kind of, I again was then, you know, banned or rejected, whatever, however you want to say it. There's a term, what do they say? Disowned.
Disowned.
For like the second time. And mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, I'm over it. so it was tough, but I think one thing that might have helped is putting the ring on my finger.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is when finally my parents were like, oh, okay, I guess he's real. Like, what yeah. kind of bridge the gap.
Mm-hmm.
But there is still a lot of working on that needs to be done. And I think just specifically with the culture clash, I'm not saying specifically my culture, but I think a lot of cultures, they were just raised with the mentality of viewing others in such a way that it is hard for the generations of our parents onwards to unlearn.
Right.
For with my mom, like, I know that she doesn't do it intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just not know anything outside of the culture. So when she says things, like, word vomit comes out, and it's like, mm-hmm. oh my God. But yeah. I mean, I explained it to my husband, like, so he understands it.
Right.
But it's just hard for the older generations to unlearn
what
they've been taught yeah. over mm-hmm. and over again. And even for long, they still can't unlearn it so quickly because it's just been in the culture for mm-hmm. decades. And centuries that that's the raise. And I really think that with our generation and our kids, the cycle definitely can start to be broken.
Right.
I mean, it's there's a lot how the other races are perceived, but it's just an unlearning that needs to be done, and that needs to, we don't share it and we don't tell our parents mm-hmm. what they've been doing is wrong, it's never going to be
changed.
Yeah,
I agree. Now, how is it in California living versus New York? Is it much more acceptable, the diversity?
I honestly think so. I mean, I was just talking about this with my friend. She's originally from Oakland. She's Filipino, but she currently still lives in the Philippines. She's originally from Oakland. A lot of her family lives on the East Coast, and we were mm-hmm. just talking about just how on the West Coast, it's more lackadaisical when it comes to that. Like, right. there's not so much pressure in terms of who you're dating or, you know, what race mm-hmm. you're dating. It's more accepted on the East Coast. It's prevalent that, you know, you're the goody-goody two-shoes mm-hmm. of the Asian side. Like, you're either with an Asian or honestly with a Caucasian. Mm-hmm. But it's rare that you'll see them be with a Mexican mm-hmm. or an African American or a Middle Eastern guy.
Right.
Yeah. So I think on the West Coast, it's a little bit more diverse.
Okay. I love it. Now, are you working on any special projects? Anything that you, are you like maybe going to launch a book or any type of groups or organizations? That, because I think that you'll make a great example talking about that, the different diversity, breaking the cultural barriers.
I kind of got the gist, so I'm just going to roll with what I got. No, actually, I'm not part of any larger projects. Okay. I definitely would love to be part of any projects. I mean, I've been posting on my own and sharing my opinion, especially when the Black Lives Matter topic became really popular. Mm-hmm. And the reason being, not just because I'm with an African American, but it also hit home because I have a son, right? Mm-hmm. And nobody is going to look at him and be like, oh no, he's half Asian, right? Let's not shoot him. Like, exactly. It's not going to stop them from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So but actively, no. But I'm definitely open to any projects. I would love to help inform people just what it is and how we can possibly fix. I'm very passionate about it just because I know my son, he is 11 and he has seen because he is half Black.
Right.
And it's not just, and it's within my family. So it's like, mm-hmm. I can't hide it from him.
Right.
He's experiencing it. So I'm definitely for it. So if there is anyone who has any active projects.
Okay. Yeah, I think you'll make a great partner because a lot of people need to know your side because you experience both sides, the German side and the Asian side, and then dating different cultures. So you are very experienced because it's one thing to know with your own family, but then you experience dating other cultures. So I think you will make a great partner on any project, any organization, giving your, you know, your experiences. Now, wrapping up, is there anything that you would like to leave the guests to understand about interracial relationships, about culture, about anything, any last words that you would like to leave, or even entrepreneurship? It's up to you.
Well, in regards to interracial relationships, I think that when you're in one, or if you are considering one, I think that you need to be sure of what you want, because if you are at the point where you think your family can still influence you, it is not, it's not for you. Because then you're hurting the other person. Mine, because I've seen a lot of relationships wherein, you know, they think they want to be with someone, but then in reality, it's really, you're just really doing it to maybe spite someone, or, you know, like, you have your own agenda, unintentionally, and the other person gets hurt more, because not only, is it you who's putting the person in this, your peers or your family who are also hurting that person at the same time. So when it comes to interracial relationships, if your family or friends are, if you know your family or friends are not as accepting, you just need to make sure that you yourself are strong enough to push through with it, and that it's worth it. Because if you're not sure, it's not going to go, I think, just considering everyone's feelings and that. It's not, everybody thinks it's just like, oh yeah, it just happens and, you know, we'll just get through it. But it's a lot. You have to be mentally, emotionally.
Yeah, I agree. Cause I think that, it is people that get involved in interracial relationships, sometimes out of spite of family and friends. And like you say, sometimes people get hurt because what your expectations is not what they really, theirs really are. You know, some people just come together and it be just because of love and attraction. And, but some of them, like you say, they get into this just to spite their family and friends. And the person has to endure, you know, and go through that part of it, you know, trying to see why it's not, they're not accepted by the other person's culture and family, you know. So I think that you made a good point that people, you, if you really want to be in an interracial relationship, you really need to make sure you're ready and for all that it's gonna bring on both sides and in the world, you know, because it's not like you say, like even with your son, you can't shield him. You can't shield him from the world that's out there. He's seeing how the world is not taking to, you know, every race, and they're not friendly to every race, everyone, you know. And I love when you say, like with your mom, she had to unlearn what she was taught. And a lot of people do, even, you know, I know people personally, you have to unlearn those things that you were taught about other races, about other cultures, about other, you know, you have to unlearn that, because you have to know that everybody is an individual. Like with you, you're an individual. When you went to college, they assumed that you love rice. Yeah, so I think that that's, I think you made some very, very good points. Well, I thank you for joining me today. I will keep in contact. For my listeners and my viewers, thank you for tuning in. I'll be back with another guest. We're real stories, real people, real stories. Until next time, I'm out.